There's nothing so soft as the human heart. When we lash out and hurt people, or when people lash out and hurt us, it's always coming from a wanting to defend, protect. Protect this soft liquid center that each of us has. Buddha talked in the Mahadukkha Kanda Sutta about all the violence and terror of wartime. How human beings do these unthinkably violent things to each other. And we see around us in the world today so much violence. Buddha said the reason he went forth was because he saw, everywhere he looked he saw people in conflict with each other. When he saw that, he became terrified. He felt like he's a fish in a dried up stream. So we're always in this cycle of trying to get things, get more, be more, have more. And then the flip side of that more guns. What is there to be done, really? How can we make our way in this world? With such timid and scared little hearts nestling inside us. So caught up in our pathetic little jealousies and wants and rivalries and so much wanting for things that are of so little value. And yet if we leave those things aside, what do we have left? What do we define ourselves by? Who do we become? Letting go of this is the most scary thing of them all. In a way, letting go of the future is kind of easy because, well, we know already that future's uncertain. So no matter how fixed or determined we are to achieve some kind of outcome, in the back of our mind we always know that, well, it might not work out that way. But the past isn't like that, is it? Or so we think. We believe that the past is fixed. And because we have such a strong belief that the past is fixed, we have a strong investment in the self, the identity, that past has bequeathed us. And so we find it very comforting . Very reassuring to take refuge in the past. I'm like this because that happened in the past. I've been like this before. That's why I'm like this now. And of course, that way of thinking is very fundamental in Buddhism. It underlies the whole pattern of the Jataka stories, for example. Yes, just as this monk was dissatisfied now, so too in the past he was dissatisfied. And then you tell the story. And the wheel turns once more. But the whole point of those stories the absolute point of those stories is that you are not trapped in those pasts. Something different can happen. Something new, something unprecedented. You can make a choice. And suddenly, the future goes down a different road. You can choose not to be trapped in the patterns of the past. So think about that. Think about what that means. Think about who you are. Think about those stories that you tell yourself. I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm like this, or I do this, or I do the other. All of those stories building up walls, defenses, shells. But But you know, the problem with shells is that they're really hard and really good protection, but you can't grow inside them. You have to cast it off if you're going to grow. Look inside your heart right now. And you see that tiny, soft, little thing we call the mind. Awareness. Look in there, look in that knowing. Ask yourself, is there any story there? Is there any past? Is there any label in that awareness that says, this is who I am? And if you look in there and keep looking and keep looking and keep looking, you'll never find anything. You know, the psychologists say that whenever we recall the past, we're actually reinventing it. Memory isn't just a record of the past. Instead, we have various kinds of things which make up memory, maybe sights or sounds or emotions or a setting or a context, all kinds of things. And when we come to remember something, depending on how clear the memory is, how recent it was, and all of those things, we can put the memory together in quite different ways. Normally, I'm sure you've probably all heard this before, and normally when we hear this, we sort of think, oh well, memory is unreliable. We think it's a kind of quirk of psychology and we don't pay too much more attention to it. But there's a much deeper truth in that. And that deeper truth is that the past is no more fixed than the future is. There's no thing lying out there which is the past, which we can have imperfect memories of. All we have is the memories. All we have is the reconstructions in the present. And not to speak of the unreliable way we reconstruct the past when we remember it. Even more important, of course, is the simple fact that most of the past we just don't remember. Maybe we could remember it, but in fact we don't. And there are things that influence us without us knowing. We call the unconscious. And we can sometimes identify these things, and we can sometimes say, well, there's a certain event that happened at such and such a time, and then that gave us a particular emotional effect at some other time. And maybe we were traumatized by spiders when we were a child, and then when we grew up we became scared of spiders. And that's a fairly obvious example, but on a more subtle level it happens every day. Something happens and it influences us, puts us in a good mood or a bad mood, or with a positive attitude towards this person or that person. We don't necessarily notice that. Maybe we do if we're being mindful, but if we're not being mindful, we don't necessarily notice it. But it influences us anyway. But that too is just small stories of the past, isn't it? Why are you in a bad mood this morning? Well, I didn't have my cup of coffee. That's just a story of the past. All these things that we tell ourselves, why we're like that, why this is like this, why that is like that, it's always going back into some past, and the past is always imaginary. So we feel the need to edit, adjust. Revise the past. Just as, for example, just as nations do when they tell their histories. And they can leave out the nasty bits. And just like nations will tell stories of the past to give a coherent sense of who they are as a people in the present, we do the same thing. We tell ourselves stories of the past in order to create a sense of who we are in the here and now. And of course, notice how fragile and fraught that whole process is. I mean, for a start, you've based it on some illusory reconstruction of an imagined past. But even leaving that aside, the simple fact is that the past is past. So whoever you are now needs to be different than the person who you've reconstructed out of the past. Must be different. What you're experiencing now is not the same as what you've experienced in the past. And so we and notice how continuous and how strenuous that effort is to maintain that illusion. Again, just like with nation building, you have to continuously manufacture flags and play the national anthem and have ceremonial holidays and all of the other paraphernalia of nationhood. You have to keep working at it to create a coherent sense of who a nation is, who a people is. It's not something that just happens. And in the same way, we are constantly telling ourselves stories to justify and manufacture and sustain this illusory and delusory sense of who we are. I wonder what would happen if we just didn't. What if we just stopped? Imagine in the world if people stopped thinking of themselves as Australians or Germans or Indians or Japanese, and just saw themselves as people. What if you woke up one morning and saw how the world is and said, why do we do this? Why do we divide ourselves? Why do we have guns pointing at somebody else who has a different color or a different language? Why do we live in such a weird way? Why don't we just love each other? It's just a dream, isn't it? In the world, things will never be like that. But in your heart, they can be. You can't change the world. You can't change other people. You can't make other people be something other than what they are. You can change yourself. You can wake up. You can say, no more. No more I am this. No more I am that. No more. And when we stop with this stupid, pitiful defenses and crap that we, in our unfathomable ignorance, believe to be something that's actually good for us. Then all that's left is the heart. All that's left is that thing that is so soft and so pure. Nothing can ever harm it. It is so soft, and it is the most powerful thing in the world. It is stronger than all of the walls and the guns. If we see this heart and we know it and we can trust it, then we are not going to be afraid of anything at all. Anything at all. So this is my talk for you this evening and my talk for this for your reflection.